Our scripture today comes from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way.
Wise men came and asked in Jerusalem, "Where is the newborn king to be found? We heard he was to be born." And the words of the scripture are, Herod and all of Jerusalem were troubled. You think? When religion and politics get all mashed together, it rarely ends well. Remember, in the most ancient of the civilizations, the Pharaoh, and even before the time of the Pharaoh, they were thought to be gods. Caesar was worshipped as a god. When Herod heard that there were representatives from different civilizations hunting for a newborn Messiah king, yes, he was troubled. For you see, Herod was king, but he was a puppet king for Rome. Pontius Pilate was Rome's guy and the real ruler in Jerusalem. Remember when Jesus was arrested, who did Herod send him to? To Pontius Pilate. I picture Herod as sort of a grinchy figure before the Grinch's heart grew two sizes larger. You remember when the Grinch was lying to Cindy Lou Who, and he told her that there was a bulb out on her tree, and he would take the tree and fix the bulb and bring it back, and his words were so smooth and silky. That's how I imagined Herod talking to the three Magi. "Oh, when you find him, come back and give me word so that I too can go and worship him." Herod was lying to the wise men in relatively that same way, that same smarmy way. But they were not fooled. And we read later that they were warned in a dream not to come back, but they didn't need a dream, did they, to figure out that Herod was lying to them. They made their way to the house where Jesus was, and it is not a stable, but a house. Not a stable behind an inn, but a house. Probably maybe in Nazareth by this time. And we celebrate the wise men's journey, and they're finding the baby Jesus on Epiphany Sunday. Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany Sunday. I love the new time. It's the time for slate wiping, isn't it? Starting anew. And we talked a little bit last week about New Year's resolutions. Maybe a little more about them this week. But this week we do come to celebrate Epiphany. Any idea what that word really means other than Bill and Sarah? Does anyone have an idea what that word might mean? Bill, Sarah, and anybody else that went to seminary. It is. It literally means appearance. I mean, that's the closest synonym to appearance. It's just an appearance. So when this Epiphany Sunday, we come to celebrate the wise men coming to bring gifts to the newborn king. And tradition has given them names, have they not? They were never named in Scripture. Okay, here is the bonus points question. Can you name one wise man? Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. Okay, now where were they from? Yeah. Well, tradition has it that Gaspar was an Indian king from India, Balthazar from Arabia, Melchior from Persia, which is Iran. And oh, the gifts that they brought. The gifts that they brought. Gold, a kingly gift. Frankincense, a godly gift, because frankincense was that incense that was burned, and it was believed, and still in high liturgical churches today, there is always incense brought down. It was said to be pleasing to God to smell the fragrance of incense. And myrrh. The myrrh symbolized death. To be human is to die. And the myrrh symbolized that because it was a very, very costly embalming spice. And how completely these gifts came together to symbolize the babe of Bethlehem, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Savior. All of those gifts speak to the reverence with which they held this baby or this toddler. So on this Epiphany, New Year's Sunday, what gifts do we bring? What gifts do we bring? Like the wise men who come to pay homage, other translations say worship the newborn king. What gifts can we offer? Yeah, I've got a few ideas. First of all, our presence. Our presence. The gift of being here. When we are here together in worship, we worship God and we enhance each other's well-being. Did you know that? When you are here, you make it better for those around you. I believe the ancient desert fathers, some of whom were practicing hermits. And you know what? They would go off to practice their faith in complete and utter solitude. I admire their tenacity, but I think they were just wrong. I do not believe that you can be a hermit and a Christian at the same time. Because being Christian, it entails interaction with others. All of the things Jesus told his followers to do involved at least one other person. The only thing he told them to do by themselves was to pray. When you pray, don't be like the Pharisees on the street corners who like to pray with big words and loud sounds. Go into your closet to pray. So the only time you should be practicing your faith as a hermit is when you are at prayer. The rest of the time, you cannot be a Christian without other people. We offer our brains and all the creativity that is stored within them. There in this congregation today, there are thoughts hiding back there in the corner. Maybe it has made its way to the frontal lobe, but it still may be back there somewhere. And that thought is a creative thought that is going to benefit your sisters and brothers here in this church, because it's a brand new idea that we haven't thought of. I want you to spend some time in your closet going over those ideas, that brain power that is lurking back there waiting for you to unleash. We bring our energy. Do you ever come to church sleepy? Hello? And leave sleepier. If you do, either you hadn't been doing it right, or I hadn't been doing it right, or most likely both of us. I promised Taylor Lake when I was there, when I started boring myself, I would retire, and I did. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to tire of hearing me again, but it won't be decades. Our energy to represent the saving love of Christ to the world takes a lot of energy. Come on a Wednesday morning early and see that truck just loaded, the wheels just sitting on the ground, just almost overloaded with food. Come and help unload that truck. It takes that kind of energy. And then our resources. The monetary gifts that we bring are the fuel for the ministries here. One study claimed that the money that we spend on taking care of and grooming our pets is greater than all the charitable giving combined in America. I find that hard to believe, but it has to be true. It was on the internet. That may not be true, but you know that the amount that we spend on the add-ons to life. And then finally we bring our devotion. The gift of our devotion, it's like the old hymn says, take my life and let it be consecrated all to thee. Do you remember how annoyed Peter got when Jesus kept asking him, Peter, do you love me? And you could just see the frustration mounting. And yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Is our faith walk an afterthought or an add-on to a busy life and another activity to check off our to-do list this week or this month? And these aren't rhetorical and they're not accusatory. Because I find myself, I don't want to get into the habit of just being rote about my faith. God desires a relationship with each of us that is both intimate and constant. And that is the miraculous nature of our faith, that the creator of the universe, of the billions and billions of galaxies, desires a personal relationship with each one of us. And that doesn't mean a showy religion. When you pray, don't be like the Pharisees. Our presence, our creativity, our energy, our resources, our devotion, those are the gifts that we bring to Christ. Now, what will be our resolutions for FCC Conroe in 2019? Let's work on that. Amen.